हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्थो मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
ओके बॉटम ऑफ 46 As Krishna danced, some of the boys accompanied him by singing, and others by playing flutes, hand cymbals, and buffalo horns, while still others praised his dancing. O king, demigods disguised themselves as members of the cowherd community, and, just as dramatic dancers praise another dancer, worship Krishna and Balaram, who were also appearing as cowherd boys. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, If the demigods came in their natural forms, they would be recognized as such and be worshipped by the boys. Therefore, they came as cowherd boys, like Krishna and Balaram. In this way, Shiva, Narada, and other devas, disguised as cowherd boys, came to taste the pastimes. The word Gopala, Rupinau, indicates that Krishna and Balaram eternally have the forms of cowherd boys. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, Krishna, the reservoir of pleasure, blowing his flute, accompanied by his elder brother Balaram, and the other cowherd boys and the cows, entered the beautiful forest of Vrindavan to enjoy the atmosphere. They walked into the midst. They walked into the midst of newly grown leaves and trees whose flowers resembled peacock feathers. They were garlanded by those flowers and decorated with saffron chalk. Sometimes they were dancing and singing and sometimes wrestling with one another. While Krishna danced, some of the cowherd boys sang and others played on flutes. Some bugled on buffalo horns or clapped their hands, praising Krishna, Dear brother, you are dancing very nicely. Actually, all these boys were demigods descended from higher planets to assist Krishna in his pastimes. The demigods, garbed in the dress of the cowherd boys, were encouraging Krishna in his dancing, just as one artist encourages another with praise. Up to that time, neither Balaram nor Krishna had undergone the hair-cutting ceremony. Therefore, their hair was clustered like crow's feathers. Yeah, so before Krishna was coming to perform his pastimes, then it was mentioned to the demigods that they should all take birth so that they can take part in the pastimes. So then here, you have demigods that took part as cowherd boys, like that. And it appears by what the Acharyas mentioned is either the demigods have expansions that they're always there as cowherd boys, or they also just came at this time to take part. But in any case, the cowherd boys, you have the eternal associates, then you have the demigods, and then you have anybody else who happens to be some variety of sadhaka or that who's trying to take up the position of serving Krishna and Balaram as cowherd boys. And then hair clustered like crow's feathers. How the crow's feathers are, it looks nice, but it's not nice and straight. They're a little bit overlapping and stuff like that. And the color also is the same. Like that, the crows, because the crows look like their feathers are black, right? The tail feathers are black. But if the sun hits it, you'll see it's blue-black. So that's actually, and just how they fall also, then that's the same thing, yes.
Are there different hair-cutting ceremonies? Because this is already quite a few years into...
Yeah, somehow or another they just didn't have. But normally it's done, you can do it at age one, at age three, and at age five. But it appears they haven't had it yet, so it'll be a touch later. So it appears they don't have the hair-cutting ceremony till they get to Mathura. And then as brahmacharis, then they shave their heads and for the Upanayanam ceremony. So it appears somehow or another they didn't. It wasn't, no one thought about it. I guess he looked so good, right? Yeah, it means the other one is that there's two kinds of haircutting ceremony. The one is the first cutting, which is the one that's being talked here, what you mentioned. There's a second haircutting ceremony where when a brahmachari, it would be the time when the other brahmacharis would graduate, and he decides to just not graduate and get married, but remain a naisthika brahmachari. Then they do a second haircutting ceremony like that, because then it's in that principle. Sukadeva Goswami continued, Krishna and Balaram played with their cowherd boyfriends by whirling about, leaping, hurling, slapping, and fighting. Sometimes Krishna and Balaram would pull the hair on the boys' heads while the other boys were dancing. O king, Krishna and Balaram would sometimes accompany them with song and instrumental music, and sometimes the two lords would praise the boys, saying, very good, very good. Sometimes the cowherd boys would play with bilva or kumbha fruits, and sometimes with handfuls of amlaki fruits. At other times, because the bilva is, it's big, so just one of them you would play with. But the amlaki are small, so you could have a whole handful of them. At other times, they would play the games of trying to touch one another, or of trying to identify someone while one is blindfolded. And sometimes they would imitate animals and birds. So the interesting thing is that one is they're playing all these games, but just that they could play music and all that, it's not that they're just playing all kinds of funny stuff. They can actually play proper music, right? They know how it works like that. So that's the interesting, is that at such a young age, they have these qualifications. It means from a young age, they're exposed to the music. Like we see that Krishna in the evening, then after his meal and all that, then they sit for some entertainment. And so that entertainment will generally always be music, drama, dance, that kind of aspect. So that means from when they're small, they're exposed to the proper classical, performances. And then with, by that, then a little bit of practice, then you can do so many nice things. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, by the word adyaihi, is implied games, right? Is implied games of chasing and building bridges, and also of gambling and dogfights. Similarly, at noon, while the Supreme Personality of Godhead is taking rest, on the false pretext of purchasing milk, they stop the young girls who are passing by singing not far away, and steal their yogurt and other items. Other pastimes, such as crossing over the river in boats, are well known in general circles. So there's a wide variety of what they do at this time. So the cowherd boys, it's a wide variety, and then sometimes it includes the cowherd girls, but that's not all the boys. That'll generally be the more confidential friends or the equals like this. Yes.
Well, in regards to music, we hear that Krishna as a child has a flute in his belt.
Yes.
Does he play it, or only in his interaction with the gopis?
No, he always plays. It's one of the things of the cowherd boys, the parents. The flute being, as mentioned, the Brahma Samhita, the flute's the constant attendant. So the point is he's always playing the flute. So he just tucks it into his belt because that's the advantage. It's you're quite independent with a flute, right? The flute is there, the buffalo horn, you have a string on it, you just hang it around your shoulder. And so you can play these things, or kartals, then, they're very small, you can also stick them into your belt or into your bag. So it gives that independence that they can run around and play and things like that. Well, with the gopis playing veenas and these kind of instruments, that requires arrangements. So they have to set up and do all those things. So then you see the cowherd boys just carry their own stuff. And then when it's needed, they pull it out, they play, and then if not, they put it back, they can run, wrestle, and do all those things. So, but with the gopis, then it has to be arranged. It has to be that they're going to sit, and actually then Vrindadevi then arranges, then all these things are brought, then they sit, then they play the musical instruments and all that. So it's you're much more dependent on arrangements. So you can see it naturally then fits Krishna and the cowherd boys, that it doesn't have that, it has that independence. Does that make sense? Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds, they threw bilva fruits, kumbha fruits, and amlaki at each other. They trying to touch each other and avoiding being touched. Oh, they try to touch each other and avoid being touched. They approach each other from behind unnoticed, trying to put their hands over the other boy's eyes. If they succeed in doing so, they won. The prize was a flute or a stick. Right, so then you have to try to get it back, right? You know. Sukadeva Goswami continued, they would sometimes jump around like frogs, sometimes play various jokes, sometimes ride in swings, and sometimes imitate monarchs. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the word Nripa Cheshtaya as follows. In Vrindavan, there was a particular place on the riverbank where people who wanted to cross the Jamuna would pay a small tax. At times, the cowherd boys would assemble in this area and prevent the young girls of Vrindavan from crossing the river, insisting they had to pay a customs duty first. Such activities were full of joking and laughter. Because the whole idea is that you're making an excuse. When you're dealing between men and women, there always has to be excuse for talking. Because if it's that you're supposed to talk, nobody talks. Right? Yeah. So, but we see here is that the joking, the laughing and all, is always on a pretext. There always has to be some reason to come across it. So then this then creates that environment. Because they come down to the river to cross the river because they're taking their goods to the other side, you know, for selling, or there's the market is somehow or another always on the other side of the river, or some at some distance so that Krishna and the cowboys can come, and then they'll levy their taxes. And, you know, so it's just an excuse to have a discussion, that's all. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, in this way, Krishna and Balaram played all sorts of well-known games as they wandered among the rivers, hills, valleys, bushes, trees, and lakes of Vrindavan. So well-known means all kids all over the planet generally play these kind of games, right? At least used to before. Now, somehow or another, they like, you know, how you say, very annoyed birds and annoying pigs and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. Verses 17 to 32, Lord Balaram slays Pralambasura. So people who live in a natural outside environment, the boys naturally play these games. It's just how the modes of nature arrange it. Right? You know, just like boys and girls at, you know, a certain age, and they come up with excuses why to harass each other. Like that. So it's just the same thing. It's just the same arrangement. Just on the material, you don't get so much taste as you do in the spiritual. Lord Balaram slays Pralambasura. Sukadeva Goswami continued, while Rama, Krishna, and their cowherd friends were thus tending the cows in that Vrindavan forest, the demon Pralamba entered their midst. He had assumed the form of a cowherd boy with the intention of kidnapping Krishna and Balaram. Since the Supreme Lord Krishna, who had appeared in the Dasara dynasty, sees everything, he understood who the demon was. Still, the Lord pretended to accept the demon as a friend, while at the same time seriously considering how to kill him. Footnote 17. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 17 to 18 to Bhagavad Arkramrichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love. The unlimited dimensions of rasa, siddha prema rasa, rasa garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. So, this taste that Krishna gets, this happiness he gets, where as the Lord he can recognize he's a demon, but playing human pastimes, how they're going to arrange to kill him in a human way, then that gives him pleasure. So then that's, yes. So now he's contemplating that. Krishna, who knows all sports and games, then called together the cowherd boys and spoke as follows. Hey, cowherd boys, let's play now. We'll divide ourselves into two teams. Srila Sridhar Swami writes, dividing up in two groups suitably, in proper accordance with respective age, strength, and so on. There, with the purpose of killing him, he spoke excellently, since he was attractive even to Pralamba. Like, because he being the Supreme Lord who's attractive, so the demon has to fit in there, so he can't show his malice, so not showing his malice, he'll naturally also be attracted. So we see many times the demons find that they're attracted to Krishna, just because he is so attractive. So then when they divide up, then they'll divide up into two groups, but it'll also, they'll divide up and you know, whatever it is, the game with each other, according to who, you know, their size, their age, their strength, and all that, so then they'll match up. So in this way, then he's paired up with Balaram, right? I mean, at least in his mind. Right? The cowherd boys chose Krishna and Balaram as the leaders of the two parties. Some of the boys were on Krishna's side, and others joined Balaram. Footnote 18. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 20 to Bhagavad Akrami Shimala, chapter 6, entitled Tasting the Sublime Nature of Relationships with the Lord. Bhagavat Rasa Tattvam, which is in the Sambandha section of the Thakur's book. So here is that the taste that they get from being on Krishna's side or on Balaram's side, so the different flavors that they'll get, taking up that kind of service, taking up that kind of activity. So this makes it very, it enhances the flavor. The boys played various games involving carriers and passengers. In these games, the winners would climb up on the backs of the losers, who would have to carry them, thus carrying and being carried by one another, and at the same time tending the cows. The boys followed Krishna to a banyan tree, known as Bandiraka. Srila Sanatana Goswami gives the following description of the tree from Sri Hari Vamsa, Vishnu Parva, 11:18 through 22. They saw that best of all trees, whose great branches were numerous and high. It stood on the earth appearing like a cloud, densely covered with its collection of leaves. Its form covered half of the sky, and its body appeared like that of a mountain. It was frequented with many birds with fancifully blue-colored limbs. It seemed like a cloud accompanied by a rainbow. So if something's fanciful, then it's kind of like it's extra. It doesn't need to be like that, but it is just done for decoration. So then the birds, their beautiful blue color and that, it's not necessary, but it enhanced their beauty. It made them look very attractive. So it's just, so Prabhupada says that the birds' plumage and that arrangements that the birds have, that's all showing Krishna's artistic skill, because all the birds all have different kinds of plumage, and that's what makes them all attractive. So then Krishna made all these birds very nice and attractive, so then the cowherd boys are enjoying the view. It seemed like a cloud accompanied by a rainbow with its dense fruits and leaves. This tree indeed appeared just like a house, decorated with creepers and flowers. Its broad roots spread downwards, and it bore upon itself the sanctified clouds. It was as if the lordly master of all the other trees of that vicinity, performing all auspicious functions of warding off the sun. Thus was the appearance of that Nyagrodha tree, known as Bandira, which seemed just like the peak of a great mountain. So it was a very old, very big tree. So when they get like that, the branches stretch way, way out, because other trees generally put the branches up, but banyan trees, these kind, they stick them out straight, actually. So then they have their cover goes for a very great distance, and depending upon how then the supports coming down from the branches are, then you have very nice ways you can get through. It's like it had like a house, like it says. It's like many rooms and very spacious, but it's so tall and so big. So they'll be very, very cooling. It's just like creepers. If you ever sat under a bower of creepers, it's very cooling. Trees are also cooling, but the problem is the space is so high and wind can go by. But these banyans like that, they spread out, you don't get the cooling going away because it's on the edge. So they'll be very, very nice. And so this was just like the king of the trees of the area. So many nice trees are there, but this one's like the king because it's the biggest and the nicest and most nicely arranged, and all the colors and fruits and flowers and the birds, all the nice blue birds and like that. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King Krishna, King Parikit, when Sridhama, Vrishabha and the other members of Lord Balaram's party were victorious in these games, Krishna's followers had to carry them. Defeated, the Supreme Lord Krishna carried Sridhama, Bhadrasena carried Vrishabha, and Pralamba carried Balaram, the son of Rohini." Footnote 19. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 22 to Bhagavad Akramichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled "The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima," which is in the Prayojana section of the book, Thakur's book. Right? So we see here then so many nice aspects of rasa as being there, that Krishna trying to figure out how this pastime is going to work, how they're going to kill Pralambasura. Right? And at the same time, Balaram then appreciating the arrangements, and then him being happy with how this is going to work. So him then in this being carried by the demon. So it works out very nicely. So Krishna knows how to nicely please Balaram. Balaram knows how to please Krishna. And so, you know, it all works very well. Yes? Considering Lord Krishna invincible, that foremost demon, Pralamba, quickly carried Balaram far beyond the spot where he was supposed to put his passenger down. Right? Because they would be herding the calves. So as the calves are moving, then they'll go over to the spot there where they are, or this or that, or they'll designate that you have to carry to there. Or, you know, it's just whatever fancies the children at that time. That's just how they work. The rules change on the spot, right? So in other words, it's the origin of Calvin Ball, right? It just changes as it goes, right? Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, "But it may be questioned, then why did Pralamba not try to take away Sri Krishna, the principal enemy of Kamsa?" Anticipating this query, Sukadeva Goswami speaks verse 25. "Therefore, because of being a member of Krishna's party, being engaged in carrying Baladev, because he is the best of Danavas, the most excellent in terms of his strength and so on, or for the sake of his being killed by Sri Baladev, through the desire of Lord Krishna, he was carrying Baladev." So in any of these, he's already arranged it that he thought this way, and he's being intelligent, so he's doing what he feels he can do best. But it's also Krishna's arrangement, and then Balaram is pleased by this, so all these things are there.
Usually it says that those demons that were killed by Baladev, those are ones that we have to fight.
In other words, we have to put up an opposition. Like that. So, in other words, we need two, because what was before? So there's Dinukasaur. Yeah. So this Dinuka, what did Dinuka represent?
Ass-like mentality.
Yeah. It had that kind of thing, but it also had one other thing, didn't it?
Greed.
It carried the burden of material.
Yes, so in other words, we have to be willing to not be like a donkey and just carry the burden of material desire on our head. You know, willingly means we may be doing it and attached to it, but we want to give it up. We have that willingness. So it's not that we have to give it up. It means that we're going to make it go away. We have to be willing that it goes up. We have that desire that it does, and we make the steps to try to do it. Making those steps, then Balaram will take it away. Right? The same way they hear.
But if we take the previous one, forest fire, and it's clash among Vaishnavas, we should be ready to give
Be ready to give it up, but we surrender to Krishna, and being willing to give that up, it'll go away. But with Balaram, you have to make that, you have to actually make that, take that step. That you are trying to not do those things. You know what I'm saying? So, if in all these things we make that step, but we understand we're dependent upon the Lord. Because the point is that we're dependent upon the Lord, not that we have to do it. We have to be willing to surrender to the Lord and take shelter of Him. Because we can't actually get rid of the anarta. Right? Like that. By our desire, the modes of nature put it there. So it's only by desire connected to Krishna that it'll go away. Right? Otherwise, it'll just transform into all kinds of other things. Right? So we have to be we have to make that effort. You know, it's like if you have a decision that you could do something to be more Krishna conscious or more mundane, we have to try to make that decision that will try to be Krishna conscious. Then Balaram being pleased with that, then he'll remove it. But with Krishna, you just surrender to Krishna and depend upon Krishna to remove, then he'll remove it. That's the difference. But the point is both of them, there's surrender. But Balaram expects that you're also going to make that effort. Because what? These are a basis of one's existence and then the endeavors that one does in one's material existence, right? And so Balaram being in charge of the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis, which are dealing with the secondary aspects, that with Krishna it's about him being the primary. So you surrender to him as the primary, see everything in connection with the primary, then it adjusts the secondary, everything becomes perfect. But with Balaram being the Lord of those, then to assist, you have to make an effort. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, but it's not that you're doing it, you have to make the effort, and then Balaram will. Right? He preserves what you have, he preserves what you have and makes up for what you lack. Does that make sense? Yeah. But you have to be aware and try. But in a surrendered mood. So. While carrying one another, all of those who had been defeated would again turn back after reaching the branch at the Bandira tree. This Danava, on the other hand, after quickly raising Lord Shankarshan onto his shoulders, refused to stand in that place, but went on, appearing like a cloud with the moon. Right, so you come up to the place and then you come back, but then they didn't. He just kept going. like a cloud with the moon. So the moon is white and that, and then the cloud is that dark color. So then it looked very attractive. The reason for this is stated by the word avishahyam, meaning that Pralamba was thinking, as long as I remain within the sight of Sri Krishna, I will not be able to do anything to Baladev. Although he was the most eminent of the demons, and he had come there to steal both of them, he only took away Sri Baladev. And we should understand that this is the reason, because he was considering Krishna to be invincible. You know, that's his own thinking. So he came there for both of them, but he figured out in his mind, he could only take care of Baladev. So he didn't even try with Krishna. Sukadeva Goswami continued, as the great demon carried Balaram, the Lord became as heavy as massive Mount Sumeru, and Pralamba had to slow down. He then resumed his actual form, an effulgent body that was covered with golden ornaments, and that resembled a cloud flashing with lightning and carrying the moon. Because he was the most eminent of the demons, so that means he was very big and powerful. So when Krishna took and Balaram took the weight of Mount Meru, it slowed him down. But still, then he had to switch into his demon form, and then like that. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, although Pralamba was a great demon, his speed was checked. Therefore, he became situated in his own natural demon body, which is also described in Sri Vishnu Purana 5.9.17, that most excellent of Danavas, unable to tolerate any longer the weight of the son of Rohini, expanded himself into a very huge form, just like a cloud during the rainy season. Right? The moon is of one size, but the clouds are very big. Right? Sukadeva Goswami continued, when Lord Balaram, who carries the plow weapons, saw the gigantic body of the demon as he moved swiftly in the sky. with his blazing eyes, fiery hair, terrible teeth reaching towards his scowling brows, and an amazing effulgence generated by his armlets, crown, and earrings, the Lord seemed to be a little frightened. Because they generally have that very, that blackish color. They have that, generally, that shock of orange hair, you know, red hair. That's just their, they always have that. And then big teeth, so his teeth are so big that they're even coming up towards his eyebrows. Right, you know, that's big. Other people have to get that effect by a handlebar mustache. This guy, just with his teeth, he does it. The BBT purport states, Srila Sanatana Goswami explains Lord Balaram's so-called fear as follows. Balaram was playfully acting out the role of an ordinary cowherd boy, and to maintain the mood of this pastime, he appeared slightly disturbed by the horrible demoniac body. Also because the demon had appeared as a cowherd boyfriend of Krishna's, and because Krishna has accepted him as a friend, Baladeva was slightly apprehensive about killing him. Balaram could also have been worried that since this cowherd boy was actually a demon in disguise, at that very moment another such demon might have been attacking Lord Krishna himself. Thus, the omniscient and omnipotent Supreme Lord Balaram exhibited the pastime of becoming slightly nervous in the presence of the horrible demon, Palumba. Right? So he has all these different considerations that are going on. Right? He's playing the part of a cowherd boy. So naturally a cowherd boy would be shocked if the boy his shoulders is riding on turned into this big demon and he's flying in the sky. It would naturally do that. And then the second is because he's feeling bad because now this person has been accepted as a friend of Krishna, so then, you know, then killing him would, you know, then there's that anxiety. But then the third thing, his anxiety that maybe they've come because if this demon is just carrying him off, generally demons come for Krishna, so does that mean this is the distraction and then there's another demon with Krishna? So then that will create fear for Krishna. Srila Sukadev Goswami continued. Remembering the actual situation, the fearless Balaram understood that the demon was trying to kidnap him and take him away from his companions. The Lord then became furious and struck the demon's head with his hard fist, just as Indra, the king of the demigods, strikes a mountain with his thunderbolt weapon. Okay. I also think that Prabhupada, in the Krishna book, then he mentions that Balaram looks at the cowherd boy and he's wondering, how has he changed in so many ways, right? You know, he's not a little boy anymore, he's become big, he's become a demon, all these different things. Okay. The Lord then became furious and struck the demon's head with his hard fist, just as Indra, the king of the demigods, strikes a mountain with his thunderbolt weapon. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments, subsequently, Lord Balaram regained his remembrance, his awareness of how Sri Krishna had killed Putana and Vatsasura, thus establishing the precedent of killing a woman and killing a cow because of there being demons, right? Because he was worried, well, this person was accepted as a friend. But being a demon, now he doesn't have to worry about it. Thus, similarly, even though this demon is disguised as a cowherd boy, it is proper for me to kill him. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Thus, right, because he became bewildered for a moment from these other considerations, then he remembered how Krishna had killed these other demons, then he then killed him. Sukadeva Goswami continued, thus smashed by Balaram's fist, Pralamba's head immediately cracked open. The demon vomited blood from his mouth and lost all consciousness, and then with a great noise he fell lifeless to the ground, like a mountain devastated by Indra. Footnote 20. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verses 28 to 29 to Bhagavad Arkramichi Mala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, The Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is the Prayojana section of the Thakur's book. Right? So there'll be that satisfaction, like, you know, how Balaram then killed him in this way. Because you could have so many other things, because if you have mystical powers and all that, then, you know, they might, you know, how you say, guy blows up into 10,000 pieces, or, you know, all kinds of weirdo things that we'll come up with, like that. But the point is that, no, it's about human satisfaction, right? He's playing that pastime. So you just hit him enough where it, you know, cracks his head, then, you know, it's a good hit, like that. You know, he could have hit him where he just disappears through the earth and comes out, you know, over in, like, Chicago or something. But, you know, he didn't. Does that make sense? You know, so he just does it how it's going to come out nice. Like that. And then he falls like this great, you know, like a mountain peak. You know, so it's powerful, but it has that. So therefore, Balaram is very pleased with all this. So he's tasting the enjoyment because this is Krishna's arrangement. The coward boys were most astonished to see how the powerful Balaram had killed the demon Pralamba. And they exclaimed, "Excellent, excellent." They offered Balaram profuse benedictions and then glorified him, who deserves all glorification. Srila Sanatan Goswami comments, "The benedictions were as follows. May you two brothers have affection for one another. May you, with your younger brother, enjoy happily for a long time in Braja and protect us. May you be victorious in all circumstances. May you always be wealthy. Have many sons and happily live with your family." The benedictions they offered were of this sort. So you see, they're all very nice. What has to do with relationships and all that. You know? Yes.
So Krishna is doing Balaram a favor by letting him kill some demons.
It's not so much being a favor. It's just a matter of... he's thinking of a nice way to do it, and so then in this way it works out that then Balaram will kill him. It's not that he's doing him a favor, it's just a matter of that it's about the pastimes. It's nice. Does that make sense? So you have to always keep it in the context of the relationships that they have, the affectionate relationships. Because doing a favor generally means then you're going to get something back. You do someone a favor because then now they owe you a favor. You know, like that. So that's why you have to be in the material world very careful about favors. Because when they will come and all, like with Dasarath, it didn't work out so good. You know. But here it's just that they're having a nice interaction. Does that sense? So we see these are the benedictions and all that, that everything, their circumstances, so it means the relationships they will have and the circumstances in which those relationships can be appreciated, that goes on all nicely. These are proper benedictions. Right? Is that make sense? Yeah. In his Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, "Pralambasura represents lust for the opposite sex and the desire for profit, adoration, and distinction." So in other words, the gross and the subtle aspects of this Dhanam, Janam, and Sundareem. Right? Yes?
So it seems that these demons killed by Balaram, they represent the mentality of iron mind. Because in the Vasura, is the ass-like, you know, I achieve something by my endeavor. Mm. And Pralamba is the enjoyment spirit. Mm.
Yes, to be a knight. Then also on that point of being killed by Balaram, is that, as we said, because it's about that Ichashakti is Krishna, Krishna's the Lord of the Ichashakti. So that is about the fulfilling of desires. So in other words, all desires culminate in pleasing Krishna. But to do that, then there must be, as being pointed out here that you're mentioning, there must be an identity and an endeavor. And then from that, we think, we'll enjoy. So in other words, with Krishna, that those things that are an obstacle of us appreciating or applying our service with affection to Krishna, then those things are removed by Krishna. In other words, what gets in the relationship there. But what gets in the way of the whole process, that Balaram takes care of, because he's the Lord of the Kriya and Jnana Shaktis. Like that. So that's why then, if we're making that endeavor, then it works nicely. So that's a very nice point, yes. Is that... Yeah? Oh, cool. According to the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, in his previous life, he was Sudarshana, one of the brothers of Suhotra, who became Bakasura. According to the Garga Samhita, he was Vijaya, the son of a Gandharva king named Huhu, who was cursed to become the crocodile who fought with Gajendra. In either case, his family has problems. Yeah. Right? Yeah. He, Vijaya, was cursed by Kuvera to become a demon for stealing some flowers from one of his gardens. And we can probably guess why he was stealing the flowers. Right? Right? There's some girls he wanted to impress. Otherwise, why would he represent? Right? You know, and so in that, so his lust for the opposite sex, he's stealing the flowers, and what will he get? Well, it'll be the prophet. You know, he'll get prophet, adoration, distinction. Like that. Because who else is taking flowers from Kuvera's garden? Like we see, Bhima went into Kuvera's garden to take flowers. Right? And it ended up in a big fight. But here, because of who they are and all that, then Kuvera was very, you know, kind and invited them that, you know, you don't have to, you know, why are you taking the flowers? And so then you don't have to do that. So why take back a handful of flowers? Because that's what he's going to do. Then Kuvera arranged that they brought the Pandavas up there, you know, along with Draupadi, and then all the flowers they can appreciate. You know, so it's slightly different because they're Vaishnavas. So here he doesn't seem to be necessarily so situated devotionally. It means as a Gandharva or as these others, then they have some position of understanding the Lord, but it's not enough to come across properly. Yes,
seems to be a very grievous curse for. I mean, it's not such a big offense. Flower?
But they're in Kuvera's personal garden.
Steal flowers?
Okay, it's just like this. Okay, let us say you have your house, okay? We're going with our typical, you know, how you say, 1950s, you know, suburban house with the front yard and, you know, the things in the gardens and all that, the flowers and all that. On one side is just some ordinary guy. On the other side is the, the head of the bank where you have all your money. So are you going to make a distinction? If you had to get flowers, would you make a distinction?
Yes.
Okay, so Kuvera is in charge of all the money of the universe. You want to mess with Kuvera? No. So therefore you have to show some respect.
That's understood. I just don't understand their...
Because they're being disrespectful. It means there's plenty of places. He's a Gandharva. There's plenty of places they can go. They have Nandankana. They have so many places on Meru that they can go that are designated for them. Right? But there's a hierarchy. So Kuvera is in the hierarchy. They have to respect him because he's one of the Dikpalas. He's not just another demigod. You know, he's not like the, the demigod in charge of the 32nd hair on the left eyelid from the left. Right? You know, he's not bad. He's in charge of the money. He's one of the Dikpals. He's in the north, right? So you have Indra in the east, Varuna in the south, Vayu... Varuna's in the west, Yama in the south, and Kuvera in the north. So that means of the main four, he's one of the four. Right? You know, so it's a very important thing. So how do you get money? No, but I'm saying according to these four, how do you get the money?
By worshiping Kuvera.
That's there, but what is facing Kuvera?
Yama.
So therefore, by performing your duties properly, then you get money. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, by the proper dealing and relationships and all that, then that, you know, all those opulences and knowledge and greatness comes, right? Does that make sense? So that they're connected, all these things. So not respecting Kuvera will be a great offense. He is the senior amongst all... Amongst these, his father, Huhu, will be, he's the king of the Gandharvas, so he has to be respected. But amongst all these different things, then you have the different heads of all these, so the Siddhas, the Charanas, this and that. But Above them, you have someone like Kuvera. So we have to understand in the thing, it's not just about flowers. Because there's plenty of flowers around. They're in the heavenly planets. It's why they're taking his flowers. It's not that he needs some flowers. He just happened to be walking there, and the girls are there, and they want some flowers, and so then he went over and just took their flowers. Like that. Because otherwise, why profit adoration and distinction? It's like so many guys have given these girls flowers. Right? Because Nandankana and their place are full of flowers. But these are Kuvera's flowers, so they have to be better. Even if they're not, they have to be better, right? You know, it's just like, you know what I'm saying? It's made in China, right? And so many people are buying them, but Gucci buys it, puts their name on it, it's better, right? You know, same thing, but, you know, just add another zero onto the price tag, that's all, right? Like that. So that's the whole thing, because it's Kuvera's, it has to be better. So therefore, the girls are going to be more impressed. Right? So if the girls are more impressed, that means there's adoration. It means it's distinction, right? Because it's more impressed. And so he gets adoration, and then he gets more profit. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. So that's the problem. So we have to make that endeavor to try to give that up. That's why the Lord Chaitanya is saying, na dhanam, na janam, na sundari. It means making that effort. Like that. But we're dependent upon the Lord for the success. That's why it says, by trying to give up the idea that I'm the controller and enjoyer. Spider. By giving up the concept of I'm the controller and enjoyer, then you get the mercy of Advaitacharya. By that mercy, then you get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, which means you can give up that whole material endeavor, that desire for material enjoyment. And by his mercy, then you get Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Because Lord Chaitanya's mercy is coming down, it's the audarya, or the karunya. That comes down from the conjugal rasa. It's one of the ornaments of the conjugal rasa. So that means it's coming down because Lord Chaitanya is taking the mood of Radharani. And so in that mood, then it's about, and Radharani is about devotional service. So if you're committed to devotional service, that's where you'll get that full mercy. So to have that, you can't have material desire. To not have material desire means you have to give the idea that I'm the controller and enjoyer. Yeah? So that's the process. That's the hierarchy. So we see when the first two, then the last comes very nicely. Yeah. So, therefore, it's more than just flowers, because it represents the whole hierarchy of authority and culture and all that. And they're demigods. They should know better. Right? Because they're supposed to be situated in goodness and as devotees of the Lord to some degree, therefore that's why they're given these positions. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Lusty attractions for the opposite sex, greed for money, the desire for sense gratification, inclinations for increasing one's honor and false prestige, the desire for being worshipped, these are all certainly very strong obstacles and are very difficult to overcome. But if one understands that they are very detrimental for one's development in Krishna consciousness, one will try very enthusiastically to cast them out. So in other words, you see them and you are making the determination you want to give this up. Right? If one endeavors in a very humble mood, Krishna will certainly show his mercy. Then upon the awakening of the mood of Sri Baladev in the devotee's heart, these contaminations will instantly be removed. Right, so by Krishna's mercy, then you get Balaram's mercy. Right, but you have to please Balaram to get his mercy. Right? Does that make sense? So, in other words, it's just like when you please Guru, then Krishna will be pleased. So in these two demons, when you please Balaram, then Krishna will be pleased. So Krishna gives you the opportunity to please Balaram. If one endeavor, okay. The methods of the process of purification are very deep and mysterious. Therefore, it is necessary to learn about them directly from a bona fide spiritual master. Right, so Prabhupada constantly talks about these. Okay, it hasn't been connected necessarily to the demons, but the points are always talked about. So that we should take it as that serious. This is other things that pass, because then, now, if it's just talked about that you have to give these things up, then you'll focus just on that. Right? But now, if we connect it to the pastime, if we're nicely situated like that, then it just takes it farther forward. How Krishna is so kind, he performs his pastimes. By absorption of these pastimes, then we become purified, then we can give these things up. Right? But if not, if it's just knowledge, it's not realization, then we're just going to connect that anartha with this pastime, and we're not necessarily going to make the endeavor to try to get rid of it. As soon as it comes up, we just, oh, well, that's Balaram's, you know, killing this and that, and you have to do this, you have to do that. Are you trying to do that? You know, you understand? So in other words, the point being made is, it's not that Prabhupada is giving something less. He's giving the essence of how the whole thing works. The pastime then, in time, adds to that. We want to make sure it doesn't distract from that. Does that make sense? Like you give the kids something to eat and some ketchup. Sometimes they eat just the ketchup. Right? Like that. I saw one little girl, father gave a pizza. She just eats the top of the pizza. She does not pick it up. Yeah, that's normal. Oh, okay. I guess I came across pizzas at a later age. So, you know, everyone expected you to actually eat the whole thing. But, yeah, so in other words, we just pick what we like, but you have to take the whole thing. So then it's like, because you're eating the thing, and that makes it nicer. Right? You have the preparation, and then that extra thing makes it nicer. So the actual point of that understanding the anartha, making the endeavor to give that up. Huh, maybe it's a girl's thing. Just getting down to the essence, right? Okay. Yeah, so then it adds to that. In other words, the preparation is nice on its own, and then you add the other, you know, how you say? Condiments, accoutrement, whatever it is, all the other things that go with it. And it adds to it. But if you just have those without that, that's not necessarily very good. Right? We have something, we put salt on it, it makes it better. That cows just lick salt on its own, right? Generally, we don't. Okay? Does that make sense? You know, unless you're referring to a particular, Star Trek episode or something. Then that's another thing. Okay? So, in here, then, that the anartha is how to give that up for Krishna's pleasure. And then trying to have the right attitude to please Krishna. That's the main thing. Then the pastime of the detail of the demon and the background and all that, then that adds to that and brings it out, it makes it even more wonderful. Does that make sense? So one always has to understand when everything's there, that's everything. Not that other details are the same. The detail is only to enhance the main principle. You have a question? No? Oh, okay. She was raising her hand. Sukadeva Goswami concluded, their minds overwhelmed with ecstatic love, they embraced him as if he had come back from the dead. The sinful Pralamba having been killed, the demigods felt extremely happy, right? Because of demons, he was very eminent. So, and demons always make it their business to harass the demigods. So it's just, it's part of the, how you say? The job description, right? But, you know, so when you come in, the demon comes in for a job, he puts on his resume, you know, harassed Indra and this past, you know, and this, did this to that, you know, he has to, you know, that kind of thing. The demigods felt extremely happy and they showered flower garlands upon Lord Balaram and praised the excellence of his deeds. Okay, chapter 19, swallowing the forest fire. So again, Pratigya, those who are dear to Krishna are never destroyed. Right? So we see the last chapter is that all these different things get in the way of devotional service. By surrendering to Krishna and Balaram, then these can be removed. Right? So in this, that those who are dear to Krishna, they're never destroyed. So we take shelter of Krishna. Even these things, these problems, can't overcome us because we're surrendered to Krishna. So the real active thing is the surrender to Krishna. Adhyaya Prakashi. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna saved the cows and the cowherd boys from a great fire in the Munjaranya forest. One day the cowherd boys became absorbed in sporting and allowed the cows to wander into a dense forest. Suddenly a forest fire blazed up, and to escape its flames the cow took refuge in a grove of sharp canes. When the cowherd boys missed their animals, they went searching for them. Following their hoof prints and the trail of blades of grass and other plants they had trampled or broken with their teeth. Finally, the boys found the cows and removed them from the cane forest. But by that time, the forest fire had grown strong and was threatening both the boys and the cows. Thus, the cowherd boys took shelter of Sri Krishna, the master of all mystic power, who told them to close their eyes. They did so, and in a moment, he had swallowed up the fierce forest fire and brought them all back to the Bandira tree mentioned in the last chapter. Seeing this wonderful display of mystic potency, the cowherd boys thought Krishna must be a demigod, and they began to praise him. Then they all returned home. Right? So that's it. They began to praise him, and then they returned home. So it all comes up because it just enhances the relationship, as we said, especially for the cowherd boys. These things is that the more, since you're equals, then the more you raise the friend, the more your position is raised. So it's fun for everyone. It's not a problem. Right? The modern thing where you're trying to break down everyone, but then technically if you're equal, you've broken him down, you're the same as him. But people don't know that. You're always trying to be better. So that's it's not actually a standard relationship between friends, right? It's contemporary. It's very popular. I don't know about where the source of it. I know it's very much a kind of at least the American form or the Anglo-Saxon form of the Bohemian culture. That's all they do is harass each other. I don't know if they ever do anything nice, you know. But it's all done in a happy mood, but they always harass, so it's not. So we see here is that they work on the other thing and they get more taste. Okay, so
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema ki.